We are so blessed with a lot of kids, really grateful to God for that gift. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon each one of them as they go their way. We thank you that you know each one by name. We thank you that you know each one of us here today in this room by name, that you see us. And you know, Lord, all that we've got going for us, all that's good and joyful. And you know, Lord God, what we're struggling with, what's inhibiting us, limiting us, causing us pain. We come before you, Lord, and pray that you would speak the word we need to hear, that you would touch us with your healing hand and make us whole, alive to your good purpose, not just for our own sakes, although we long for that, but God, so that we might share with you and your good work, your healing work in our world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series today on spiritual awakenings. And today we're going to talk about healing, what it takes to wake up to the healing God longs to offer us. And thinking about this, I couldn't help but remember back, I think it's been about 10 years. Some of you might remember if you were around at the time I tore my Achilles tendon. I was out right over here playing basketball, and it felt like somebody had a baseball bat out there or thrown a brick across the room and just hit me back there. I fell down looking around like, what happened? And I was in great pain, but yeah, maybe you can relate to this. I put off going to the doctor for a little over a week. I'm stumbling around, and I read up a little bit, and you know, there are other things that it could be. Maybe I just need to strengthen so I did some exercises. It wasn't getting better. So finally, a little over a week later, I went to see an orthopedic surgeon just to check it out. And he just started laughing at me, which isn't necessarily the nicest thing to do, but we were laughing together. You know, he had not even pulled up my pant leg or pulled down my sock. He had just kind of touched it a little. And he said, you need to get into surgery tomorrow. And I'm like, how do you know that? You haven't even done an exam yet. He said, feel down there. Just, you know, put your hand down there. I go, okay. He said, what do you feel? I said, nothing. He said, that's the problem. Feel the other side. You know, if you feel your ankle, there's something there. There's a ridge. It's hard. It's that tendon. And there wasn't there. It just disappeared up my leg. He said, if we don't do surgery right away, you won't be walking in a few weeks. You won't be able to walk again. I'm like, okay, that sounds serious. Let me clear my schedule. Call my wife. And then I went. Yeah, he thanked the Lord and thanked the doctor and the medical team. Sewed it up, and I'm doing great. I'm really thankful for that. But it kind of brings to my mind how often in our lives we need help and we don't admit it. You know, that there's something not quite right. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in our heart with our emotions. But we just don't quite name it, look at it, deal with it, ask for help with it. You know, they say this is a big problem for us physically with our medical conditions, that women who get a mammogram when they're after the age of 40 are 40% less likely to end up dying from breast cancer. I mean, it's a 40% reduction, and yet many don't go get that mammogram. Men and women over the age of 50 are getting a colonoscopy, which, by the way, is just a fun thing to do anyway. Those who don't put it off have a 60%, I think it was. Let me look at my note. Yeah, 60% reduction in the chances of dying from colon cancer. Just a little, well, not a little, but a test. High blood pressure, something we don't even pay attention to. Many of us have, but we don't talk to the doctor. We don't check it out. We don't check it on a regular basis. It doesn't seem to be really bothering us, but over time, it really is destructive and can lessen your lifespan by a lot of years. It causes other problems that will, even while you're alive, be difficult for you. You know, it's really worth our while to get that physical, to see the doctor about a question we have. When we have emotional problems, and I know many of us have that, to go and talk to a counselor. You know, I think about in my own life where I've gone and I just said, you know, if I wanted to become a better basketball player, I'd go get coaching. Want to learn how to play my trombone better. I got a lesson. Why not go see a counselor and just see if they can be helpful? If you've got problems in your relationship, you don't want to even name it. Like, it's just the way marriage is. You know, it's tough. It's difficult. It doesn't have to be that tough. You can get coaching. You can get help. Go seek it. It makes a difference. It can make a difference. Why wouldn't you? And certainly this is true when it comes to our spiritual lives, that we have this dis-ease. We have illnesses, ailments. In our spiritual lives, we're not as strong as we know, if we take the time to consider it, that we'd like to be, that we could be. But we get comfortable with the status quo. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. There's so much more. In today's gospel lesson, we have two people and two very different reactions that take place to Jesus walking into a synagogue teaching there. I just invite you to listen in to how different these reactions are. To be honest, both of these people that are at the center of the story need healing. They need the wholeness that Jesus offers, but only one of them in this story receives it, wakes up to the healing that Jesus offers. And my prayer as we continue on right now and as I share this story from the Gospel of Luke is that we will, each one of us here, wake up to the healing Jesus longs to offer us. So Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When he saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. Isn't that good news? Did you notice how different those two reactions were? How crazy is this? Something good happened. And some people were just overjoyed, thought this is the best thing ever. This woman is cured. She's set free. Praise God. And another man, and evidently some others with him, are indignant. They can't believe that this would happen on the Sabbath day. Jesus broke the rules, the traditions, their interpretation of the scriptures of how God should be at work in this world. And if God's at work, this can't be God's work because it's not the way we expect it, we want it. Talk about sickness. This is maybe the central ill right now of our society. We're so divided. Our reaction to what happens is not thoughtful. It's not spiritual. It's not emotionally considered. It's reactive. And so we hear the same thing. We see the same thing. And some of us rejoice. And some of us just look for a way to be judgmental and to slam it. We're ill. We're sick. And we need the healing that Jesus longs to offer all of us. You know, this woman, she knew she was ill. She knew she was crippled. But unfortunately, this leader of the synagogue had no idea. He thought he had it together. He thought he was in control. And he was the sickest person there. You know, what spirit do you think was crippling him? Was it a spirit of envy? A spirit, I invite you to think about what spirits kind of cripple you as I say this. Was it a spirit of envy, a spirit of fear, a spirit of judgmentalism? Was it a spirit of greed, you know, wanting the power and the influence and the whatever else that he wanted for himself? What crippled him and made him unable to see Jesus, the good Jesus is doing, and say, this is good. I want to be in on it. I want to celebrate this. See, Jesus longed to, I really believe this, free that man too. He really longs to free you, to heal you, to help you awaken to his love and his presence. He's right here. He looks at you just like he looked at that woman. He saw her and he sees you. And all we need to do is wake up and receive what God offers. So there are five things I want to name that we see happening here that can help us awaken to the healing Jesus longs to offer us. And the first one would be simply to name that it's our aim to seek healing and wholeness in our life. You know, that actually companies that decide they want to do quality improvement, no matter which consultant they hire, although it ought to be, you know, the one I work for, but, you know, most every company that decides they want to pursue quality improvement improves their quality. Quality of relationships, customer relations, product, making it the aim of their company helps it to happen. It's true in our own lives too. And when we say, I've got a marriage that's good, and we say, I want to make it better, we tend to make it better. One of the things I'm so grateful for with my wife, Donna, is we got a great marriage. I'm so thankful to God for her and for the way we communicate. And we keep working on getting better. We know that we can do better as parents. We can do better. We make that our aim. And so we're open. You got ideas for us? I hear a good idea. I write it down. I'm like, okay, let me try that out. I'm reading books. You know what I mean? We're not afraid to go get counseling. If we think it might be helpful, we'll go get counseling. Why would we not? Our aim is to grow, to have quality improvement in our lives, in our relationship. Make it your aim to grow in spiritual health. You know, not just to go through the motions of your life in Christ. Why would you just want to be a Christian who has that as a secondary thing in your life? It happens once a week. Or why not grow in all that God intends? Become a part of a small group. Talk to one of the pastors or somebody who has a relationship with God where the scriptures are alive to them and say, can you help me? I want to learn how to read the scriptures in a way that speaks to me, where God can speak to me. get the idea. Make growing in wholeness and health your aim, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Second thing, so important, and we see this with these two people, is acknowledge your need. You know, acknowledge that you don't have it all together. As long as we think we have it all together, we have nothing we can learn. And so this is why we take time when we pray to confess our sins. To take time in our private prayer life or here in church to say, God, help me. I'm going to reflect back on the last 24 hours on where my weaknesses have shown themselves, where my sin has come out. God, shine your light into my heart and into my actions, my reactions, and help me to see where it's not because I'm so smart or because I know so much that I reacted the way I did, but it's because I'm so afraid or I'm so caught up in that spirit of anxiety that I can't trust you in the situation. So for us to take time to acknowledge, God, I need your help. Great physician, I need your forgiveness and your grace. The third thing would be to open our body, our heart, and our soul to the touch of Jesus. You know, having confessed our need, confessed our sin, to say, Jesus, now touch me and heal me and make me whole. As I read the scriptures today, Lord, speak that word that I need to hear, like this woman, be free. What is it you need to say to me? Give me ears to hear. Let me just sit here and allow you to touch me and to heal me, to make me whole. And Jesus wants to make you whole, but sometimes we're so busy running, trying to be whole without that touch. You know, like for me, to come here on a Sunday morning and say, it's a busy morning, I got to go preach the sermon, instead of sitting still with God and say, Lord, your spirit, this is your day, this is your life, this is touch me and enable me to preach as you will me to preach. Because I don't want to do this on my own. But if you do it through me, I can't wait to see what you have in store. The fourth thing, and this has been one of God's words for me again and again over the past couple of weeks as I've meditated on the scripture, is to stand up and be free. You know, he says to her, woman, you are set free from your ailment. And for me, he says, Mark, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is washed away. Your shame is no longer. Stand up and be free. That spirit of shame, stand up and don't let it be the guide and the controlling force in your life. That spirit of anxiety, of fear, that's no longer constricting you, restraining you. Stand up and preach. Stand up and love. Stand up and reach out. For me, I was talking to somebody actually in between services who was saying, that's what I need. I pray, I ask for God's forgiveness, but then I keep going as if I haven't been forgiven. But you have been forgiven. And it's time to stand up and live the life that God has created you and renewed you in Christ Jesus to live. Don't wait until heaven. It's going to be great. But you get to live the abundant life starting right now as you stand up and in confidence, not just in your own flesh, but in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you stand up and you live. You trust God. And finally, rejoice and praise God. Make this your habit, your aim, ongoing in your life. We've talked about this a lot the last few months. I think there's a reason that God keeps bringing this up for us, especially in the midst of all the anxieties of our lives and of our world, our society right now. That God would lead us to have eyes to see the good that's happening, which can only happen when we actually are a little more at rest, right? When we're a little less anxious. When we're anxious, like the synagogue leader, you can't even, it's happening right there in front of you, and you just can't see it. You're so anxious, you're so fearful. But God is at work in this world. Did you hear that? God is at work in this world. And there is nothing in this world that can stand in the way of God's power, of God's love. I give you a peace that is not of this world. The Apostle Paul calls us to rejoice always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So ask God to give you eyes to see the good, to name it, to praise God for it, and to join in with it. Because that's what our world needs. We got enough people standing around pointing out all the people that aren't doing things right. Don't be one of them. Be one of those who sees the good and says, thank you, God, help me to be a part of that, so that the good overwhelms the evil in our world. Rejoice and praise God. Make that your daily, your hour by hour practice. And you know what? If the good comes from somebody that you really think is just like you, they think like you, they vote like you, their theology is just like yours, you see them doing good, thank God and rejoice in it. And when it's somebody who you really disagree with, whose theology is a mess, who maybe doesn't even know Jesus, you see them doing good, you say, thank you, God. Bless that person, and may there be more of that. You know, we don't need to separate out ourselves and say, well, it couldn't come from over there. Guess what? It's going to come from over there and from all kinds of places that you don't expect, just like that synagogue leader didn't expect it to come from Jesus, somebody that was an upstart. You know, he's challenging the status quo. When you see good, thank God for it. Rejoice and trust God. There's this verse, the Apostle James in his book, the first chapter says, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift. If you see good happening in this world, you can be sure that God is there and his kingdom is breaking in. Give thanks to God for that. Rejoice in God for that and join in to the glory of God, to the good of our neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
God Almighty, we praise you. We thank you for the good you're doing in our world. We thank you that you work through Jesus, one that so many in the midst of that spiritual battle going on thought, was of the devil. Oh God, forgive us for getting things so wrong. Forgive us for the ways in which we, Lord, inhibit health and continue on in illness and even spread illness in our world. Today, oh God, we would awaken to your healing power, to your healing touch. Open our eyes, our hearts to where our sin is killing us, our relationships in our world. Forgive us, cleanse us, and renew us, God. Empower us by your Spirit to do the good that you have created us anew in Christ Jesus to do. We pray in his holy and good name, rejoicing and giving thanks to you now and forever. And all God's people said, amen.
Oh, thank you, Mark, so much.